So we're going to bring up Pastor Wendy for our message, and then we're going to hear from Matthias a little bit later. So let's welcome Pastor Wendy.
Also, Michaela and Kyla are on kitchen duty today, in case you didn't see it. Okay, thank you. Okay. Well, thank you again. Thank you for welcoming me. I appreciate it. I feel very welcomed. You can go ahead and sit down. I sound very loud. Does it seem loud to you? Okay. All righty. Well, good. So this week's portion is called Shemini. And for those of you that may not know what I'm talking about when I say the portion, I'm the Torah portion. So of the first five books of the Bible, they're split up into 52 weeks in a year, 52 weeks throughout the year. And that actually that schedule has been kept for hundreds of years by Jews, thousands of years by Jews, and also by those that are Torah observant, that are also Yeshua observant. So we follow that schedule, we read it, we study that. Actually, that's what we're studying in our small groups through the week, is that chunk. So we're in Leviticus 9 through 11 this week. And there's just a couple concepts that I really wanted to draw out that were really interesting to me, but I was thinking about them because my mind is so focused right now on walking in freedom, because I think it's such a threat right now to our world, really. But again, I don't want it to be to just think about that it's this freedom of, you know, and it's all politics, but it's about walking, because it's about walking in God's freedom. Because any time there's freedom, it's because God's granted it. It's because God has allowed it to be there and established it. So I think those things, you can't separate them. I also was going to mention, too, real quickly, James Coates, that pastor in Canada that Yvette mentioned. So I don't know if you, I think it's worth repeating. You know, he took that stance that we are to submit to govern the governing authorities, because that's what Romans 13 is all about, right? Not necessarily the same thing as obedience, though. Those things have overlapping characteristics, but the difference is, he said, okay, I see what you're wanting to mandate here, and I'm going to tell you right now, I cannot obey these, but I will submit to your consequence for them. And that is the key. He said, I'm not going to stand at my church door and send 85% of my parishioners home. He said, no, that's not my job. My job is to spread life and to spread the word. So he said, so I submit to your consequence, and he was arrested. And, you know, on a whole, you know, so he has a platform. His church doubled after that, by the way. It's like, do we ever learn from history? Whenever you persecute someone, it just makes the movement even a bit bigger, you know? Hello? Anyway, so on a grand scale, you know, he has this huge platform, and these people, and his, he had a, you know, I think associate pastors that stepped up and preached the same hard word after he was arrested. He had to spend 2 weeks in solitary confinement. It was also a quarantine time, but he was literally alone, and where he got to go outside for like 15 minutes twice a day. And I thought, you know, that's where the battles are won, is in those times alone with God. When you are sitting there going, oh gosh, did I seriously just get myself arrested? All I had to do was just comply. Oh my gosh. We could have done like 3 services in a day and just covered everyone, and I could be at home with my kids. I'm wondering how many doubts went through his head as just a man, a natural man, you know, that, wow, I was selfish. You know, I'm not there to raise my children right now, to support my wife. I bet all those things went through his head, and he thought, he probably doubted some of his decisions. But also in that moment, that's probably when God strengthened him. And that's probably when he had to ask the question, what's your purpose in this? Because I submit my life. Because if we are truly servants of God, we are just like the holy utensils used in the tabernacle. where they are used for God's purpose. There were some for common, but there were many used for his holy purposes. And if that's truly what we call ourselves, the servants of God, then we set aside our lives, our agenda, for God's holy purpose, for his holy service. And, you know, now since he was let out, they have just now barricaded his church, and no longer are they allowed to meet. So there are many saying, now what? You know, does he go underground? Are all Christians supposed to go underground right now? I would say that's not the right answer either. Not for us, you know. And I don't know for them. You know, maybe that is what they have to do for now, or do Zoom. You know, they have to do online messages. But you know, I just thought our domain is our own lives and the things that God puts right in front of us that we have to be obedient to if we're going to be any kind of effectiveness out here, or any kind of effective out here. And that's where it starts, solitary confinement. One-on-one time with God, where you say, okay, God, I know you brought me through this, and you made me make this bold decision, and you're going to make the next step happen because I'm yours. So, come to the biblical citizenship class. Okay, so, next slide. It's not responding to me, and I do have it on. Oh, no, I have it off. I just did a total old person thing. I even went like this. I am officially old. Okay. What does it mean to actually walk in Torah? And I just want to remind us, too, what does the word Torah even mean? Because it's often translated as law, which is actually incorrect. It is not a law. It is not given by a king that says, you have to do this or this punishment will happen. It's actually, it's best translated as his teaching and instruction. And really, it's his loving teaching and instruction. Because if you think about it, when you had children, did you kick them to the curb and say, ha-ha, figure it out? Or did you teach them? Because that's what God does for us. He's given us a lovely instruction manual. And give us instruction in how to live, because he does love us. So one of the things that really struck me this day, this portion, is that we're coming off the tail end of the 7 days of these priests being consecrated to God. So Aaron, his four sons, they spent 7 days in a tent. They spent 7 days in solitary confinement with God, where he was going in and teaching them and preparing them and giving them instruction in how to approach him in his tabernacle, just as he does for us today, how we approach him. You know, I was thinking as worship leaders, you know, how we come in to worship. You know, you don't just hopefully come in off the street with the, you know, the anger of the fight you just had with your wife or husband that morning. Hopefully you wash your hands, you get clean, you come in and you're ready to enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. That's what God was teaching them. And then there was a graduation. That's the eighth day. That's what that was supposed to be. The eighth day is about learning to move beyond the page into that new revelation, into what that is. And it was cool because a lot of this was in my head, and then I went to a small group at Kathy's this week, and of course, you know, when you fellowship with others, it brings it to life. So a lot of these, just even the wording, how Kathy said, you know, the revelation of the eighth day. And there's another way she said it, too, that was good. But that was really helpful to me. It's also a time of a new beginning. As we know, the number eight is often referred to as a new beginning. It should be where we move beyond what's the literal interpretation. Not that you throw that away, because we don't throw away the math tutor when we move on to algebra, right? We still have to do addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. We just add in some number or letters, variables. So it's the greater Torah, the one that Yeshua taught. The Old Testament is our foundation. This is where this instruction was laid out. And when Yeshua came to earth, when Jesus came, he showed us how to walk it out. He said, this is the greater way to walk it out. This is what actually brings life to people. And so this is where I wanted to focus today. One of the main things we learn, and one of the first things we hear when we come into, when we walk into Torah, is about guarding Sabbath. And the word literally is to guard. It's called shamar. Andrea and Matt named their dog Shamar because she's a really good guard dog. Because if you think about it, what things happen on Saturdays? Pretty much every sporting event, every extracurricular, everything is scheduled on Saturdays, it seems. And it's funny because it was never that way. Back, way back when Yeshua was walking the earth, that was the set-apart day. And now it's in competition. Everything else competes for that set-apart time. But if we look at that day literally, it's guard it. You have to keep it. And you do. We are supposed to. It's a sign of our covenant with God. It's important. It's a day that he renews us if we really do. But how do we keep it? That's an important thing, you know, and it's going to be unique to each of us. It's not going to look, it shouldn't look exactly the same for each of us. Otherwise, that is a cult. We're not that. So the doors are unlocked, okay? I'm just saying. Anyway, but how we keep it. And that's where we come into the greater revelation in Mark and then also in Hebrews. And I'm just going to read those. Then he said to them, Shabbat, this is Yeshua speaking, Shabbat was made for man and not man for Shabbat. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of Shabbat. It's such a good verse, but and there's a lot to it. But the right off the bat, you know, we might say, wait a minute, Shabbat, we can't do this and we can't do that and we're not allowed to do this or that. And God's just turning around that teaching, that mindset of this is what you get to do on Shabbat. You get to rest. Because it's made for man. You get to come and let me fight your battles. So it's not about that you can't make a buck that day, you know. You can't go out and burn your field because you got a guy coming on Monday to crease it. That's legit for us. Tuesday, I don't know. It's that, no, God will multiply your time when you give it over to him first. And that it was meant for a rest. It was meant for refreshing because he knew that we wouldn't do it, that we're workaholics, you know, and that we don't stop worrying. That's probably the bigger part of it. Well, a lot of times we take our worries into Sabbath, you know. How are we going to pay that bill? Or how are we going to, you know, meet, you know, whatever, help our kids in certain areas and things. And, you know, that's a hard one. So also Hebrews says, so there remains a Shabbat rest for the people of God, for the one who has entered God's rest has also ceased from his own work, just as God did from his. That's our best reminder right there. You know, if you ever have any doubt, read the creation story. What did God do on the seventh day? He rested. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one may fall through the same pattern of disobedience. Yeah. The next concept that hit me was keeping the feast days. That's another kind of obvious one, that as when you say you're Torah observant, you keep the feast days. And those are big. And as most of you probably know, there were 3-foot feasts, which means that everybody would go up to Jerusalem to celebrate together. And those were the Feast of Passover, Shavuot, right, so Pentecost, knowing is the Greek word, and then also Sukkot, so the Feast of Tabernacles, because those were feasts where it was important to come together as a body and community, and, you know, they're way better if you're with people. So those are 3 of them, but the others, there are more. There are 7 total in there. And those are important, plus one, which is Sabbath, yes. Those are very important because they teach us about the nature of God. But again, if our focus just gets about keeping the feast day, we got to do it, and we got to do it perfectly, it always strikes me every time, if you read the instructions for the feast days, they are so vague. They are probably one of the most vague things that is in there. You know, with the exception of maybe on Sukkot, but even then, it's like, this is how many bowls and, you know, offering grain offerings and other things you're bringing every single day, and it's exactly the same for every tribe. But how you keep that time, it's up to God and you. Because he never wants us to apply a formula. He always wants us to be led of his spirit. So the feast days teach us, though, about his nature. They all point to Jesus. every single one of them. Unleavened, he's our first fruit offering. Pesach, Passover, he was the sacrifice lamb, the blood on the door, that is all Jesus. So they're all about him. It's that, that's hopefully, when we do these things, it would reveal the greater revelation of who Yeshua is. Because when we keep the physical, it should be about revealing the spiritual man. I was just thinking even in another one too, just wearing tzitzits. So those are the tassels that people wear, you know, the four-cornered garments with those. And those were to keep people, that was like to remind you of the commandments, right? That's important. Yep, Pastor Curtis has them there. He doesn't have the blue thread through them. He's waiting for the perfect snail dye. Just kidding. Yeah, and here too. So that's, again, it's not about beating someone over the head of, oh, you don't have yours tied right, and you don't have the blue in it. And, you know, it's about, are you keeping the commandments? Whether you're wearing the tzitzit or not, are you actually walking in obedience? Because that's really the greater Torah in that. So Colossians 2, 16 through 17. This verse, I think, has been twisted so many times. The danger of false wisdom. Therefore, do not let anyone pass judgment on you in matters of food or drink or in respect to a festival or new moon or Shabbat. These are a foreshadowing of things to come, but the reality is Messiah. The reason we do these feast days, and they're called Moedim, and it actually means rehearsal, appointed times, rehearsals. What in the world is a rehearsal for? Practice makes perfect. Eternity, yes, for the great real event, yes. These are a foreshadowing of things to come. The reality is Messiah, not the feast day. The reality is Messiah. We do it to reveal him. We do it to point to Yeshua. So it doesn't mean forsake it. And this verse is often used to say, see, we don't have to do those things. People shouldn't judge you. You can eat whatever you want. You can drink whatever you can do. You don't have to do these things. But really it means if you're one keeping these feast days, people should not be judging, making judgment on you for it. Yep. What'd you say? Yeah. Anyway. Another one is being set apart, and that was something that was huge in this portion, obviously, because here we have Nadab and Abihu, who had just been set apart, just given instruction. I feel like such a parent when I read this. It's like, I just told you. And then they literally go and run out in the street, you know. And they literally go, and they don't walk in the revelation of the eighth day. Instead, they walk in their old man. They walk in their flesh, and they bring an offering before God in their flesh. And what does God do? Instead of consuming the offering, he consumes them. They're burned up. That's a hard lesson. And, you know, I'm sorry, Dennis, I'm going to use your question from the other night. Dennis had an excellent question. Why did they have these why did they have to do these things? Why did they have to bring these offerings of animals and sacrifice these things? And I thought it was such a good question, because I thought it's because they had to learn, and it's not the only answer, but one of them is that they really had to learn by physically doing these things. Because they were children, and they came out of a completely different culture. They were slaves. They had to come out and learn by doing, just as we do, too. Thankfully, Yeshua was our ultimate sacrifice, and we don't have to bring and slaughter these things anymore. But how hard would that have been, you know, to stand over your favorite sheep and have to slaughter it, you know, because of your mistake? Oh, it's my necklace. Gosh, after all. I didn't think it was going to be an issue. Okay. So being set apart, kadosh is the word for holy, and it literally does mean to be set apart. The greater revelation in this, we're going to read 1 Peter. Sorry, let me go back. I think the trap that many, I'm going to say messianic, so people that keep Torah and Yeshua together, one of the traps they really fall into is we are set apart. We cannot fellowship with you. You're unclean. You don't do these things. We wear a long skirt to keep set apart. That's not why I'm wearing a long skirt today. Just thought it was pretty, okay? but it's that idea of, you know, we dress a certain way, and we cannot fellowship with you, because God pulled us out of that, out of this mainstream Christianity. That's not God's heart. That was never his intent. Our set apartness should be the things in how we conduct our lives and how we walk it out and how we are at home with our kids or our husbands or our wives, you know, how we are in our work day, how we treat people. Being set apart is saying, yeah, you deserve that I would yell at you, but instead I'm going to say, are you okay? Are you having a hard day? You know, being set apart is walking in Yeshua's love, the greater Torah. Those are the things that he really wants us to be discerning over. So 1 Peter 1:15-16. Instead, just like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in everything you do. For it is written, Kedoshim, holy people, you shall be, for I am holy. You shall be holy, for I am holy. I like that there's a verse in the New Testament for all of these verses in the Old Testament, because they all tie together. They should, right? Yeah. So we could never be holy like God is holy. We can only ever strive to be, and that, again, that comes from walking in spirit, walking and asking him to be our guide, to lead us in these things. I think this might be the last one, washing hands. So this was one, it wasn't technically a commandment. It was to the priest, and it was when they brought an offering, that after they slaughtered it, they were to wash their hands in the brazen in the bronze laver. And we had a really cool opportunity last week to go to Moab and see a replica, a life-size replica of the tabernacle that they would have had in the wilderness. And there's no substitute for actually seeing that in person. As much as you try to visualize it or even watch videos of it, seeing the scope of it, how tall the things were and how big the lavers were and the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies itself, those things. And, those things were just really powerful. And I thought, for our kids, you know, they have this picture now. And even the distance they had to walk. Here's the brazen altar. And, you know, and then they went over here and washed their hands. And over here is where they slit the throat of the animals, which was the most humane way to kill them. Those things were a very physical picture for us. Because it's about how we approach God. We bring our offering. We wash our hands. You know, I was really upset on the road. This person drove like a Utah, and it really made me mad. Is that like you agree with me, or I'm just kidding? Anyway, so they don't know how to do roundabouts. Come on, man. So I had to come inside. I had to wash my hands. And it's not about the washing of the hands. That's a good practice because it gets your mind thinking. You know, it's just like an object lesson with kids. It's a good practice because it gets you thinking, okay, I need to set that aside. I'm sorry, God. You know, sometimes when I haven't had the opportunity to physically wash my hands, I actually picture it. I visualize it, God washing it off of me so that I can change my status, my mindset, really. It's renewing your minds. So Matthew 15:20 addresses this also. These are the things that make the man unholy, but to eat with unwashed hands does not make the man holy. And that might seem like a weird one, a weird scripture to put in there or confusing, but really it's about, these are the things that are physical, but what really makes us spiritual are what we're touching in the day, what we're eating, what we're bringing into our lives that we don't check. We don't check at the door with God. So to eat with unwashed hands, that's just going and consuming whatever's out there. It's not really being set apart. You know, it's consuming whatever's on TV, whatever you hear in the news. It's allowing it all into your spirit. You don't wash your hands. You eat it wholeheartedly and fear everything, whatever else messages are out there right now. Yeah. What? Oh, okay. Okay. Sorry. Okay. Right, it does not corrupt you. But I was, yeah, okay. Eating kosher, I guess this was another one, because this was also in this portion too. Leviticus 11, it goes through all the clean and unclean animals. And then there's some that are specifically, do not eat these. It's like they're super bad or something. I don't know. The camel, the coney, the O'Hare, okay. I can't remember the fourth one. Oh, Pig, right. That's the one. But the ones that were clean, that they were allowed to eat, is literally what they call food. They don't even call those other animals food. So when he talks about it later in Acts 10, or, you know, don't call unclean, he's talking about people in that scripture. But what he even calls food is the clean animals. So the other ones aren't even considered food. But again, does that mean I can't sit and, you know, and hang out with you because you might eat a pepperoni pizza in front of me and I'm not? No, that is not God's heart. These are the things he's gave to instruction to his children. And if it's not something you feel is on your heart, that's okay. Just ask God about it. That's it. Greater revelation in that. You know, each of these characteristics of these animals, with the exception of some of the birds, they all had two witnesses to them. Chews the cud, has a split hoof, fins and scales. Okay, that's it, all I got. But jointed legs, that's right, of the insects, yes. Greater revelation, Matthew 15 again. It's not what goes into the mouth that makes the man unholy, but what comes out of the mouth, this makes the man unholy. I want to be clear, I'm not saying it doesn't mean you don't do those things, because God did give that instruction and it was forever. He didn't say only to when I come on the earth. But again, it should point to a greater revelation of what you're consuming. When you stop to think, what's in this hot dog? Well, it's a Hebrew National Frank, it's probably kosher, okay? Or if it's a Nathan's hot dog, I think those are kosher, I'm not sure. But if you stop to think, okay, what are the ingredients in this? It makes you discerning. You start to think, oh, it translates into so many other areas in our lives. You listen to the radio, and a lot of times it's your old habit. I always listen to this station, you know, but they start saying things and you start to tune in and go, you know, this really isn't feeding my spirit. This isn't feeding my cells like it should be. So those things are the greater Torah. This is the eighth day revelation. And again, we're not all on that same page together, and that's okay. And you know what? Especially when you first are starting to walk in the instruction of Torah, you know, these physical things are important, and you need to do it. You don't skip those steps. You got to go through those things. But we all are at a different pace in the things that God's teaching us. So just, we need to grant each other mercy in that too and be okay with that. Walking in the eighth day really means to walk in your calling to the things God's putting on you, to have a voice, because he's teaching you to walk with discernment and by his spirit, and to be obedient to his spirit. And when we do walk in these greater revelations and we walk by his spirit, then we will be able to have an effect on our culture around us. We will be effective in our families, we'll be effective in our jobs, because we have order in our own lives. We have order over our own selves and the things that we do. So let those points take it away, or take those points away. Let me say that in the right order. Also, we are gonna introduce and bring up Brother Matthias to speak today. So thank you.
It's obvious in Scripture that the Lord would have us, you know, offering water and food to those that are in need, and to providing clothes for those that are in need, and to be what James 1:27 is, looking after the widows and the orphans. And that is so obviously God's mission, in my opinion, that I can see that's where God's heart is, and that's where he's moving us as a ministry.
In 2010, we founded the organization. And as I speak right now, we have a clinic, we have a school, we have a church, children's home. We are working hard on becoming a self-sustaining ministry. When you pray for us and with us, God stretches resources that he puts in our hands in a very, very powerful way.
So Father to the Fatherless is making a huge difference. not only in the lives of the women and children in Uganda, but it reaches much further than that. There are children who have homes that didn't have homes before. There's children who are going to school who never had the opportunity to go to school before. There's women who are able to use their God-given talents in many ways, either as teachers or as caretakers of the property, caretakers of the children, working in the clinic. And so jobs are had that were not had before, and people have been blessed and healed, and most importantly, have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ through our ministry.
All of the things we see could not be possible without people like you. Thank you. I'll give a small story about a little boy called Hassan. Hassan was brought to our center when they thought that they were bringing him to die in our hands. Hassan is an orphan. He doesn't have a mother, he doesn't have a father. And he lives every day and he looks to us as his family. And we are there for him. And a person who was on the doorstep of a grave, now he can be able to walk around and play with his friends. And when he first came, Hassan, he would take one step, another step, he would fall down. And now to see that he's growing to be a big man, it's a miracle and it's beautiful.
So the school on our property is such an amazing tool that God is using. Not only is he using it to break the cycle of poverty so that these children can learn new things and be able to use the talents that God has given them, but God is also opening such an amazing window of opportunity for them to be able to share Christ with their families when they go back home in the afternoons. Many of the families around our school, they don't know the Lord yet. And so through our school, their children are learning about the Lord, and they come back home and are able to tell their families about Jesus. Who is this Jesus, and what has he done for them? That he has died on a cross to save them from their sins. And so the culture that they live in is so full of witchcraft and so full of just many other things that are so against what the Lord would have them do. And so this is a great opportunity for them to hear the gospel.
I have seen God work completely in every detail of this ministry. He orchestrated the whole thing with Matthias as a young boy. He had plans for Matthias's life, and Matthias has obeyed.
We're so thankful a clinic has been set up. It just brings basic medical needs quickly to them, where they used to have to wait hours or a ride, or this could be the difference in a life, and especially pregnant women, young children. We're just so thankful that God has blessed us with a clinic here.
There's so many things that are impressive about our ministry, both celebrating and worshiping the Lord in a church service that's just growing in number over the years. That's the thing that brings me the most joy, in a place that had witchcraft and witch doctors and shamans and, you know, a sacred tree, now has a church that's thriving in the community. And the baptisms that I'm seeing, the last mission trip that we sent over there, just to see people being baptized in a body of water right along the river. And then the crusades that take place over there with massive amounts of people coming from around the community to hear the gospel preached. And that's the thing that encouraged me the most above.
To give to Father to the fatherless, you don't have to be rich. You may not have a whole lot, and that's okay. Doing what God would have you do with your money is what counts.
Those big hand claps to Jesus. Woo! He is a good father, he's a good God, and he is awesome. My name is Matthias Bloom, but some of you know me. I know some of you. I know all of you, and I love you so much. It is a privilege of my lifetime to stand before you and encourage you with what God has been doing with his work in Uganda. I came here, was it, how long ago, 3 years ago?
think four months ago, and I was welcomed, and I was loved on, and this is my home. And on top of that, I realized that Pastor Mike and Mama Edith, we have a long, 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 long history. That I had known that somebody in Florida here knew things concerning me. So that was really beautiful. I was really encouraged. So this is my home, and I'm speaking to my people. Praise God. Well, the issue of the fatherless goes deeper in my heart because of my past. If somebody did not come to my rescue, perhaps I would have been dead. I'm here because God gave me another chance. He is a good father, and he loves us. There is a scripture, a couple of scriptures that comes to my mind. But before that, I want to take this privilege to thank the leadership of this church for giving me this opportunity to come here and share with you what God is doing in Africa, Uganda. So the scripture that comes to my heart, it comes from Romans chapter 10, from verse 14. The Bible reads and says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Even as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those of them that brings good tidings. I'm going to stop there. And with that, let's take a moment here and pray. Father God, we want to thank you for your faithfulness. We want to thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for loving us. God, without you, we are blind and we are lost, God. So Lord, I pray that you push me aside and I ask you to come and speak to your people and encourage them to do what you're doing to your people in Africa. Father, I thank you so much for my brothers and sisters here. Thank you for their hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I wanted to share that scripture because even before I go in details, I want to mention something small here. And as I speak, I want you to have that at the end of your heart. In our church here, we have Mama Edith and Pastor Mike. Where are they? Ah, very good. Mama Edith and Pastor Mike, they're going to be coming with me to Uganda. They're going to be coming to take the good news of Christ to our people. How can they hear without a preacher? How can they be able to preach without somebody preaching to them first? And so God has put that burden on their hearts, and this time they are coming with Matthias. They are coming to love on our people. They are coming to encourage my people. They are coming to remind us that Jesus Christ is still the way, the only way, the truth, amen, and the life. And so with that, I would really love you to pray for them. They're going to need our financial support. They're going to need our love. They're going to need your prayers. First, your prayers. Because, you know, many people and many ministries, sometimes we tend to focus on money. Ministries, we need money to do what we do. But I want to say this again. We don't need money to do what we do. We need God to do what we do. Without God, nothing is possible. I tell people that what you're going to be able to see has not been happening because of money. Money has been a center of that. Everything has been happening because the faithful have prayed. And when the faithful pray, guess what? God moves in the bigger way, and he does things that no man can do apart from him. And so he has been a good God. A couple months back, I was going to Uganda, and I came here. And you loved on me, you prayed over me, and you gave towards my trip. And it is a privilege of my lifetime to come to you and share with you what God did with what you trusted with me before I went to Uganda. There are a couple of scriptures here I want to read that really will encourage you. Before I read them, if you are an orphan here, and if you are a widow here, I want to encourage you. You are not alone. God himself is your husband. God himself is your father. And he loves you more than anybody loves you. No matter how you feel, that void in your heart, I want you to give it to him. And I want you to call him whenever you feel lonely, whenever you feel like you have no one to understand you. Call on him, and he will always come and encourage you and lift you up. He did for me. And when he came, I never remained the same. The scripture says in James chapter 1, verse 27. It reads, the region that God our Father accepts is this. To visit the widows and the fatherless in times of their distress. And to keep ourselves not to be polluted by the world. God is concerned about the issue of the fatherless, of those less privileged than us. God is concerned about your heart. Two things that really, really God is concerned about. Your heart and the issues pertaining to those that are less privileged in our community. We don't have only those in Uganda. We have people in our neighborhood here. God is calling us to reach out and love those who need love. It's going to be love that's going to set us free. The love of God. God gave us the best. You know what he did? On the cross, he gave us his only one begotten son, Jesus Christ, to come and die for sinful people like me. Without Jesus, I would have been lost. Our faith would have been meaningless. He brought us Christ to unite us back to the Father. That's how much he loves us. James chapter 2, verse 15 to 16. Scripture reads, suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them or to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? As missionaries, people are moved with what we are doing when we add actions on our words. If we don't put action on our words, whatever we speak is meaningless. And so God is calling us, not only in Africa, but even here, I want to encourage you, that even here, God is calling us to always put action with our words. Those things, God moves them in a big way, and he moves people's hearts like never before. We just had a man, he has seven children, including a one-year-old child. The storm came in the village, we've been ministering to him, we've been kind to him. He has never really, really, really thought of coming to Christ. He doesn't want to hear what we are saying. But we kept on loving him. And the storm came, and guess what happened? It took off the roof of his house, left him without a home for the seven children, including a one-year child. It was painful. He looked around and was like, where am I going to go? And guess where he ran? He came to us. And he said, we love you, brother. We are so sorry for what happened. We want to help you. Help you. Give you a place where you can stay for the time being. But also help you to build your home for you. That has been on my heart. And we've been really working on his house. And his house is going up. But as his wife has been staying with us, you know what happened last Sunday? She came to church, and guess what happened? She said, I want to give my life to Jesus. She gave her life to Jesus. And she said, I wish my husband can come because of a small act of kindness. Look at that picture. I love that picture. That lady there. She's one of the grandmas that I love reaching out to. Went to see her when I went on this trip. I got to know so much things because I have so many grandmas that I take care of. But her smile, you can't put price on that. She was loved on. She just felt so happy. And whenever she hears that I've gone there, she's like, he's coming to see me. The love of Christ is coming out so amazingly. You guys, you helped me to be able to give those people something during the special day that they love, Christmas. We have a different understanding of Christmas, but hey, it's okay. We can start from there and preach Jesus, and then we can disciple them and teach them what they're supposed to, how they should live their lives. Let's move on to another picture. Please. Oh, I have this stuff here. Okay. That's a young lady here. Her name is Nicole, and she said she comes from Grand Junction, no, Placid. She came, I met her a couple years ago when she was 11 years old at Mesa camp there when there's a missionary. But she's been watching what we're doing with our ministry, and finally, when she finished her college, she came to me and she said, Mathias, I want to go. I want to be a blessing. I want to go and get to love those people. And now she's living in Uganda, and she's loving those kids day and night, and she's just praying over them, speaking life over them. And she's left the beauty of America, where everything is on tip of your fingers, and we can still find ourselves complaining. You know what I mean? We are so blessed. I pray for this great country, and I pray that God will awaken us and open our eyes to see what we've been blessed with. It looks like we are turning the blessings that God has given us into God. And that is turns into a curse that can wipe us away completely. We need to get back to the root, to the beginning. We need to understand who blessed us from the beginning. So my heart every day, and my people in Uganda are praying for you here. We are sending missionaries, but as people are converting, they're in turn praying for our country. Our flag in America here flies at our center every day. And people ask me, why do you fly this flag? I tell them, this is the country that has made me who I am. It's a country that has loved me. This is a country that has helped me to bring what I know to be true to you. And in return, they pray for America. I pray that God will take the veil off our face and we see what we need to see. Because if we don't do that, it might be too late. And for us who know the truth, the Bible encourages us to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Pastor Wendy was talking about the pastor in Canada. They are experiencing all of that from Canada, and then they are going to bring it to us here. What will happen if it hits us here? What will happen? We got to stand in our faith. Amen. We got to let what we know to be true be our compass. I love one guy who they went to his church and he shouted at these police officers and told them, "Get out of my church!" I mean, he was loud and clear. You know, and he chased them out. We need to get there. We need to speak where we need to speak. We need to run where we need to run. Let's get another picture. Sorry, I'm so sorry. I don't want to keep you for so long. So because of your prayers, when I came here, I got to Uganda and we had a van. You're going to see it later. It was a crazy van. It served us very well, but it was dying constantly. And I was like, God, I trust that you're going to help us with a van. One thing that I've come to realize is this. If you don't put yourself first and you put yourself last, God will always put you first. So I told God, I said, God, what I need, I don't need to buy a car for me that is comfortable, that is really, amazing, that everybody would see that, oh, that's the founder. No, I want to buy a vehicle, God, that will serve as an ambulance for our people in the village. And that will help people that have nothing. And we looked for the van, and we looked for the van. But I knew that you guys were praying for me. I got the robe that Pastor Tyler gave me, and I was practicing how to pray, you know. I've been really learning. And I would stand out and say, God, I came back. The deal didn't go through. I came back and I covered myself and I said, God, I'm in my sacred room. And I said, God, I pray that God, really God, make a miracle. Make a miracle. And I cried to him. Guess what? We went back. We landed to that van. And God, that van is beautiful and it runs really amazing. You know, I mean, it's going to save people's lives. We don't have a van in our village. We serve over 4 villages. And it's almost like an hour to find a hospital where you can really treat people. So having this van, we're going to save lives. And the gospel is going to be preached. So God gave us that on this trip that I went. Let's go to another picture. The what? Yes, I'm still learning. Yes, the prayer shawl. Yes. Also when we did, we realized that, you know what? What is the best way, time to share Christ? So they couldn't allow us to do stuff we usually do. But in the evening, I corrected the people from the village, brought them at the school, and we watched the video, the film of Jesus. And then from that, we had conversation. Why did Jesus come? Why this and this and that and that? And we had to lead many to Christ because of that time we gave to them. But it all began and started because you all prayed for me. I came here, you covered over me, and you sent me with love. Let's get another picture, please. Also, when we were going, our friends at KJO Well Radio, they did a drive, and they were raising Bibles for us. God has blessed us with a church that has amazing people. And the things we take for granted, like a Bible. These people don't have a Bible. They write on papers or they just have to cram everything in their heads. And this time, KJO Well Radio got us a couple Bibles. And we were able to give them out. That gentleman there is the pastor who is leading our church there and is doing a great job. So let's go to another picture. Yes. That van there, it's a great van. But one day we were going to Kampala, and right in the middle, the tire went kaput. And I was like, you know, what's going on? So we had to take it off and, you know, goodness. But thank God, he gave us the other van. He gave us the other van, and God is a good God. Let's go to another picture. So that's our home there. You know, God is amazing. Last year, God put on my heart to go back to school. And I didn't know how that was going to happen. I'm not a rich man. I do what I do with all of our work here as a volunteer. I don't get paid. And I say, God, I really would love to go back to school. And he's like, for what? I said, I want to go back to school. I want to learn how to be wise with whatever you've trusted with me. But I don't have the money. And I said, God, what would be the way to go back to get this, make this possible? One of my idea was to go and join the military so that I can go and get education. Well, that wasn't God's plan. That was kind of like a dumb idea, but, you know. But it wasn't dumb. I also love this country so much that I wanted to really give whatever I can give and serve my country. Because this is my home now. I became a citizen a couple of years ago, and this is my home. So whatever I can do to contribute to my home or to my country, it's a privilege. So I spoke to some of my people that I have in my life, and they said, Matthias, that's a good idea, but it's not a good idea. Well, you have a full-time ministry that you really run. A lot of children, a lot of people in the villages that are just counting on you to do what you need to do, what will happen when you go to the meter? Do you think they will allow you to keep on doing what you're doing? I said, I think no. He said, okay, you have a family. And I said, this is all good. He said, God, okay, you don't want me to go there. What's another way? So the gentleman that whom I spoke to happened to be working at the same U. And he said, Matthias, give me a week, I'll get back to you. So I gave him a week. He went. And in the week, he came back and he called me, Mr. Matthias, come to the university. Let's talk. I went there and I said, we will help you get your university, I mean, your whatever you want to get, without worrying about paying. So we will take care of it. Now I'm going to school. God is paying for everything. And what I need to do now, I ask you to pray for wisdom. Me and math, we don't get along together. So pray for me. My sister there, she knows she's in my class over there. She knows how I struggle, and but God is good. God is good. And one more thing that went in my head, I was like, God, I have kids through our ministry that have degrees, that have jobs, that have children. I said, God, they're more smarter than I am. You know, and God's like, no, I will make it happen. And he did it for me. So when I was going to school, the government called us, you need to have a fence around your property. And I said, this is crazy. We have COVID, and you want us to have a fence of our property. Where are we going to get the money? I said, God, wow, you made a way for me to come to school. Take care of your work. And you know what happened? The fence is right there. He built it. When it started, it didn't stop. He built it. There is no fundraising. There is no my idea or whatever. He made it happen. I would be between classes and phone call would ring. And people would tell me, hey, do you have a minute? Can we meet you? I'm in the class. Can I call you after? Okay, so can we meet you? Give us 30 minutes. And between those, not one time, not three times, people would leave me with like $5,000 check. Just like that. So I have no credit that I can take with everything that God is doing there. It is his work, and I am so privileged to see him work the way he's working. So let's move to another picture. Can you see a rainbow right there?
Yeah.
Good. When we got that property there, I'm going to show you another one that has, it was covered with people that were not believing in God, worshiping trees and all of that. And one day God told me, run over the property and call God of Israel, God of Jacob, let him come and be the God of this place. So I got a few people whom I got. Some of them didn't even believe. They just followed me like sheep. And we lifted up our hands and we said, God, this is your home. This is your home for your people. You are the God of Israel. Come and have your way. Do your work right here. And you know what happened as we walked to the property? Almost coming back to the place we started, the clouds formed up. It started raining, and guess what happened? The rainbow came over the property. And right there, God told me, I have saved this village. There is no destruction that's going to come anymore to this village. I have saved them. God. And this time, only this time when you guys prayed for me, on this trip, I got out and I was praying and I looked over. I didn't even mean to get out. I looked over. That's what I saw. Again, God brought back that sign. A sign of hope. His faithfulness is over his people. He loves them so much. Let's get another picture. That's another project we worked on. when we went, we added on those rocks and around the basement. That's our guest house. If anybody ever wants to come and serve God, you will have a place to stay and serve God without worrying about paying for the hotels. We take mission trip, and that's where missionaries stay. But that home there, we call it Feed My People, Love My People, and Give Thanks. It's a long story. But I'm not going to go there today. But it's called Feed My People, Love My People, and Give Thanks. I did those three things, and God gave us that. Let's go to another picture. God is faithfulness. Those are our people. That's our family. They love you guys. They pray for you. I spent time with them, and I got to dance and teach them more about God, and it was just a beautiful time. Just mingle with the kids and just get to love them and see God doing great things. Let's get another picture. Another picture. Good. So that's all food you bought for the people, and we're able to distribute it among the people. Another picture, please. Our church. So we started with three people. You remember when I told you the story? Now we have over 250 people in the church, praising God every day. Let's take another picture. Another one, that was when we were showing the video. We spent a lot of time in the farm preparing for our children. The food we feed over 300 people on a daily basis comes from our farms. We don't spend money on food. We can spend money on the car, but not food. And that's our desire, to become self-sustaining, that if anybody trusts us with anything, we want to put it where it's supposed to be going. And God has been so good. Let's go to another picture. I would love to take this moment and really invite you, because I'm going to be going in details more on this date. We have an ice cream social. I'm calling people. River of Life Alliance Church have given us their place to have a fundraiser there. It's not going to be like a fundraiser. My desire is to have people whom I love, spend time with them, just encourage them and show them what they trust with me to do God's work, where it all goes. And so it's going to be on May 7th. If you have some time, come out and spend some evening with us. You can register on our website there at www.fathersofathers.org. It's free of charge. Let's go. So that's another picture there. We partner with the ladies from Tennessee. Their job is they make women hygienic kits. Things we take for granted. Our sisters and our brothers and our mothers, they can just walk to the bathroom and everything is ready there. These mothers and children, they don't have, they see that as something precious. So they were given a chance, given food and given those kids, and the gospel was shared to them. Let's go to another picture, please. That's, again, our ministry. We're a non-profit organization here in Grand Junction, Colorado. Another picture. Yes, we had a chance to visit that lady there. How old do you think that young lady is? Huh? She's over 113. Yes, let's go to another picture. She can't see. Oh, there's another picture we're going to see. I think we passed it. Yeah, let's go back once. Back, you're going forward. Let's go back. Yes, so that one, she can't see, and she told me, pray for my eyes, and I prayed over her, and loved on her, and I gave her gift, some food, and she was so grateful. But the funny thing, she couldn't remember my voice, and she could describe who I was. It was so beautiful to see her. Just get to share the love of Christ with her. It was just a beautiful time. God loves his people. God loves his children. Let's go to another picture, please. That's another one. So we did a lot of harvesting. As I said, our food comes from our garden. We harvested a lot of soya beans that we are feeding our children. Let's go to another one. That's more of that we've harvested. And that's the fence that I was talking about. Let's go to another picture. So again, as I said, if God leads you, let's send. I'd love to have Pastor Mike come with us and Mama Edith. It would be a blessing to have them. Don't worry about Father to the Fatherless right now. My desire is to make sure that I see that we have them come to Uganda and bless our people. If you can pray for them, whatever you can give, it will go towards them this time. And so it's going to be a blessing. I can't wait to have him. Pastor Mike, come. We, one of, actually the pastor there, he's getting married when we are there. So I'd not told Pastor Mike, but he might be doing something beautiful. So, you know, so it would be so beautiful to have another pastor come and encourage that young man there as he's getting married to his beautiful bride. Again, I want to thank you so much. As I'm winding down, I want to leave this few scriptures with you here. In Hosea chapter 14, verse 3, the scripture says, "For in you the fatherless find compassion." Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17, the scripture says, "Learn to do right, seek justice, encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of the fatherless, plead for the cause of the widows." Oh, yeah, let's do play that video. I wanted to share with you how we praise God in Africa. Freedom, slow freedom in this house. People can come and dance. And I was like, this is home, you know what I mean? We need to have the freedom in the house of our Father. Amen. You know, I mean, coming in your Father's house and you're like, you know, I mean, that's why, you know what? This has just come right now. That's why you people, COVID did not really scare you, because you know who you are, and that is beautiful. That is so beautiful. Mama Edith. Oh, okay. Yeah. Two, please grab a necklace. Whatever comes from that, it will also go towards them to make sure they can go to Africa. Yes. Yeah. Again, I want to thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. If you want to know more, I have some brochures over there and business cards. If you have any question, feel free to reach out, and God bless you. Thank you so much for coming out today.
Matthias, do most of people speak English?
In Uganda?
Yes.
Some people speak English.
Okay.
Some.
So there's an interpreter for Pastor Mike?
Oh, I am going with him.
You'll be the interpreter. Yeah. Do you speak Uganda?
Me?
Yes.
I speak 15 languages.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I have a hard enough time with one.
I don't know if it's a curse or it's a blessing. Well,
God will use it. Praise God.
Okay.
Praise God.
Good.
Do you speak Spanish?
No.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to take it with me next time I go to Mexico. So.
We never know. There's nothing impossible to God.
Amen.
You
praise God.
You can baptize me with that anointing. And
amen. Praise
yeah.
God.
Yes.
Well, we want to take an offering for Pastor Mike. We're trying to raise $10,000. For Pastor Mike and for Karen and I to go. But Karen and I aren't going, so now we only need 5,000, so praise God. Anyway, so we'd like to play some music and take an offering. We feel Pastor Mike has really been a big part of this ministry over the last 5 years, Mike. You've been here at least 5 years in ministry, yeah. And Pastor Edith has been here also. And they've been a support. Mike's an excellent teacher, Hebrew and English. And I don't know if the people in the back can hear me, but we want to take an offering and try to raise as much as we can. If you'd like to put a pledge in there, we're trying to raise, like I said, $5,000. That'll give Mike any airfare and some hotels the first couple of nights, and give them some money to take a bus to other little areas because they know other people there, and it'll give them a few extra dollars. So if you could do that, please. We'll play that music, but let me pray over this offering. Father God, we just know that our walk is in your hands, and we can't do anything unless you're involved, because you are our everything. And we ask that this be a time that we're open our bank books and be generous unto you because of the work that's being done in the Father, to the fatherless, and for the souls that are being saved, and for the people that are in need of sustenance and food and clothing and homes and Bibles. And we pray that Pastor Mike has an opportunity to go there as you commanded him to build up the saints. And we pray that he can go there and touch lives so that from that location, Matthias can send out hundreds of missionaries around that area of Africa and into the other areas and build up a strength against Islam that wants to kill fathers to the fathers, that wants to kill everything that has to do with Mashiach, Messiah, and Matthias. So we thank you for this offering. Thank you for the money that's being raised for Uganda. We praise your name and ask the Spirit of God to direct us. In Yeshua's name, amen. So go ahead and write